Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna and Tom Majeur. We're down on the farm.
We are in Kimball Township in St. Clair County, not too far from where I work, because we are at Teresa's house.
Yes, and Teresa is who?
Teresa is my better half, and I work with her, and we've been working together for 11 years now, right?
Yes, almost 12.
Yep, see, so somebody likes me, right?
We all love you.
I can't be that bad.
You should read the fan mail. It just keeps piling in.
It sure does. Well, we are here, and it's so beautiful, and it's such a good evening today, and we are going to be talking about horses. Now, I'm pretty sure that many of the listeners that do live in the country have been either have horses of their own or they know somebody who has a horse. And I think we're going to get some very good information today. And again, one of the top pet owners that we have for that. And we couldn't ask for a better person to go over a couple of things, especially the more common sense stuff. Okay, that's what we're going to learn today. But first, prayer.
A word of prayer.
All right.
Would you lead us?
Sure. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to learn more about your creation. Thank you for Teresa's willingness to have us and to teach us and to guide us so that we know better how to take care of horses. And I ask first and foremost for your forgiveness for anything we may have done, and that you open our hearts and our minds to what you have in store for us today, and lead us again in our words, and help us to know that you are in everything in nature. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, Tom, we are here today, and I know one of our last segments we talked about chickens and we talked about peacocks, and I hope you learned a few things. But as we start walking towards the horses, we actually have another pair of birds. What are you approaching, Tom?
These look like flamingos, but they don't look like the live type.
They're not. However, these are some of Teresa's favorite birds as well. And they're flamingos. Do you know anything about flamingos?
These ones are low maintenance.
They are very low maintenance. And they run on solar power. But they are pretty cool. There's a nice plane flying over our heads here.
Teresa's property abuts up to an airport, so hence
that is true.
This is a part of the environment here.
That is true.
But peacocks, that their pink is dietarily induced. They have to have
it
a certain
is.
Level.
They are actually born gray. Or hatched, I should say hatched.
Yeah,
that's true, that's true.
Yes. And we are walking past a beautiful pond that she has redone, and it's in the process of being completed, but the flamingos are at the perfect spot, right next to the water. And we also have a friend here visiting with us, and that is Binks.
And that's likes a the attention.
Totally black cat, and a pretty good...
looks real vicious, doesn't it, Tom?
Rolls over and requests to be petted.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that is...
he's my most ferocious barn cat.
Yes, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Well, as we are approaching the other creatures that we are about to talk about, we have, again... a few of Teresa's little crew here. And again, what is the color, Tom?
They are marble.
No!
What is it again?
Merle!
Oh, well.
Oh, Tom, how I've missed thee.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so today we are approaching
some horses.
Now, there are a few differences. You remember I said that, you know, Teresa had a new addition because of some things, but since our last visit here, unfortunately, we are downsized in the horses. However, we still have three. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Three.
Yeah, you have three very, very, very beautiful creatures, and they are approaching us.
Well, you're going to have to educate me on horses.
Teresa, way to go. Way to go. So tell us about who you have here and how long you have had them.
Okay, we'll start over here. This is Tuff. That is his barn name. He is actually registered. His full name is Tuff Little Skipper. Mm-hmm. That's a lot to say. So that is Tuff. He is a Bay Tobiano. He is 23 this year, and I have owned him since he was 6 months old.
Oh, wow, that's a lifetime.
So he has been with me the longest. This is Cash. He is a Dun Tobiano. He is actually 17 this year. I have owned him since he's been 2.
Wow.
So they are a nice medium brown with a white variation on them.
And that is what Tobiano means. That is the pattern.
Okay.
There are different, they are registered paint horses, and that is the pattern. There are different patterns.
What does it take to be registered?
They have to have 2 registered parents, so they have to come from registered stock. And then over here, who is still shedding out his winter coat, is Comanche, who is a Pony of America, also known as a POA. His color is Appaloosa. Appaloosa is also a breed, but he is not the breed. He is just the color. His breed is POA. He is almost 41 years old.
Wow.
Wow.
And he's a gray color.
He is. He's actually considered red roan. So in the winter, when his winter coat grows in, it is gray. He kind of looks like a furry elephant. When he sheds out in the summer, he gets his spots and a white blanket.
So if we were to measure them, Tom, they are actually measured in terms called
hands.
That's right. That's right. You see, he's learning. That's awesome. So a hand is what, Teresa?
4 inches.
Okay. So what would you say?
Tuff is 15.2 hands. Cash is 14.3 hands. And Comanche is 12.
Now, is that at their shoulder?
At their wither, yes. Which is also their shoulder blade.
And that's the top of their shoulder.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
So if you have a longer neck, you can be taller than some. No, a hand, I assume, if it's 4 inches, is that a horizontal hand or a vertical hand?
They're probably horizontal.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what got you into horses?
I have been riding since I was 2 years old. My dad's cousin had horses and used to take me every weekend since I was 2. So I have been riding her horses for that long. I have been very involved in showing horses, very involved in 4-H my entire childhood. And I love them. When I was in my 20s, I trail rode with friends every weekend, and then I had children. Mm-hmm. So they're still here and they're happy because they just get to eat now.
Amen. So when you were, even though you grew up with horses, even if you transitioned from one place to another, did you still do your research?
Oh yes, absolutely. There's different environments. When I first moved here, this was very wet, so I had to do more intensive hoof care because they were more prone to thrush and I didn't want them to get that.
Explain thrush.
Thrush is a fungal. I don't really want to call it a disease, but it's a fungus that they acquire in the frog of their hoof, which is very hard to treat.
And the frog, is that the...
It is on the bottom. If you lift their hoof up, okay, it is like a triangular shaped little spongy sole.
Between the hard part of their hoof?
Yes, okay. Which is like their fingernail. It's keratin.
Okay.
And it's very important that that is kept healthy. If a horse loses use of the legs, they have nothing.
As a matter of fact, that's why she has less one this time,
yes,
because you can explain if you're,
yes,
okay, what happened.
Bart had called me at work and he asked me to come home. It was in December. He could not get Rainy up. He said Rainy was laying down, which was not uncommon for her. She laid down a lot, but she would not get up for him. So I came home and I got her up to unfortunately find that she had broken her right rear leg. there is no treatment for that. And she had broken it in a way that it could not be repaired at all. So we had to euthanize her.
Do you think it was a bone deficiency, or did it, there was an impact or an accident? Do you have any idea?
I do not. It was not icy where she was. She was laying in the snow. What I was thinking happened was where she was standing, she went to pivot around and her leg didn't move. So she kind of just snapped it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, incidences happen like this. But the thing is you see the size of these beasts, Tom. You know, it's not easy to care for them. They have very specific care. And probably, I would say, of any of the animals that you've owned on this farm, which actually you've had pigs here, you've had goats.
Cows.
Yes. I don't know if you had sheep, but regardless, would you say that these have been your most expensive?
Oh, yes, by far.
Yeah.
Yes.
So horses pretty much are the most expensive animals that a person can own. What would you say cost-wise that you have, just say a yearly cost of between feeding and care?
I would say probably, if I had to figure it out.
She's going through those monthly
I know, because it's a lot. I mean, I hear that. I'll always hear at work, you know, oh, we went to go pick up this for the horses. We went to do this for the horses. And this horse did this. And this, I mean, it's constant.
It's probably $3,500 a year per horse.
So that's not cheap.
No.
And that's just basic care. That's not mm-hmm. going above and beyond.
Any emergency for
that's
injuries
not
and stuff.
Any vet care. That's not farrier care. That's nothing like that. That's just basically feed.
Those are important cares too.
Absolutely. Yeah. My farrier is actually coming out on Wednesday.
Yep. And what is a farrier, Tom?
That's a person who does the horse hoofs.
Yes. Cleans up their feet. Yep, yes. Trims up their feet. But I think horses probably are pretty prone to injuries.
They are. That is the one standing right here is the most accident-prone horse I've ever met.
I think it gets it a little bit from their mother. I've seen some nice injuries.
He was home with me for 1 week. And when you bring home a new animal, you thoroughly inspect the area that they're going to be in. It's new to them. He was in a stall that had a little run out. I went through that whole stall. I came out to feed him. He had ripped a hole in his nostril, wide open, on Sunday, on Mother's Day.
Oh my goodness.
So I
is the vet on call on
called my veterinarian, and he was wonderful. He came right down, he looked at it, and he told me he's little, it'll grow just fine, and you can't even, it healed just fine, he grew just fine, you can't even see where it had happened, with no treatment other than keeping it clean and putting some salve on it daily. So he has done that. He has gotten arthritis in his knee because somehow he twisted his front knee, so I have to be very careful with that and monitor that. And I can always tell he also knows when it's going to rain.
how does he tell you?
He will limp on that knee, actually. Oh, so now that he's older.
Is he more accurate than the weather service?
He is, yes. When he was 6 years old, he knocked the gate off at my house. And the farmer across the road had just sprayed his field with pesticides, and he went for a jolly run across the field. And he came back, went back in the field, and I noticed 2 days later, as he's drinking, he was like choking while the pesticides had burned a hole in his nasal cavity into his oral cavity. So every time he was drinking, water was coming out of his nose. So he was almost drowning himself. So I had to deal with that. And because of that, he has developed heaves. So now I have to treat that.
And heaves is?
It is a lung disease, basically, where he will cough every once in a while, and it's certain times of the year. I have to be very careful with the hay that I purchase and where I get it from and what is in it, mm-hmm. because that affects him as well. And he does have to be medicated for that sometimes.
Do you have to soak the...
For him, I do not.
Oh, okay.
Because the hay that I buy is not dusty.
Gotcha.
So I always buy a better quality. We tend to stay away from the first cutting hay, and we buy second and third cutting.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we talk about the diet. Because, very, very detailed on how they are to be fed, because it can affect their whole life. So, but as you can hear, that the environment really does matter, because there are so many things to look out for. They are so prone to injuries. They are prone to, you know, running into things. They are prone to, like, the fencing and the sticks and the anything, nails. Nail, mm-hmm. Have you ever had any nail injuries? For sure. But they can get eye injuries. They can get, you know, these puncture wounds, these lacerations. I know you've had lacerations. She showed me a picture one time of a super ginormous injury. It was a gash. It was a huge gash.
It was Cash. He was in the round pen, and I had the truck and trailer next to the round pen, and he went to run out into the pasture, and instead of going around the truck, he jumped between the truck and the trailer, and the jack ripped him from mid-chest all the way up his shoulder.
Yeah.
So
he took the shortcut, and it wasn't so good.
He did. So then he earned himself some stall rest for... It took a good 2 months for that to fully heal. And it was in the middle of summer, so you have to be mindful of flies and bacteria. And
it could get in the wound.
Oh, yes. Yes, I had to clean it twice a day. I had to cold hose it twice a day to reduce the swelling. He was on special medication to not only protect the wound, but to keep the flies off of it. Yes.
Amazing, right? Yeah. But what I was fascinated with at the time that it happened is it was the water therapy, how the water helped heal it.
Yes.
I mean, it was cold water therapy is what she was doing, which, again, nature's resource, right?
Yes.
So it was able to help heal.
Twice a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But a lot of these, I mean, these guys are huge. And, you know, so there's still other issues that they can have. And a lot of it does pertain some of it to their face, but a lot of it is their legs and mm-hmm. their hooves. Mm-hmm. So they can get abscesses in their hooves, and that can be life threatening for sure. And it's actually one of the most common causes of an abnormal gait or their stance, and that's also known as lameness.
Yes.
You'll hear horse lameness, you know, that's the term. But usually it's bacteria that gets into the hooves and can cause the abscess. So they get infections there. And mm-hmm. again, most of that, does a vet have to be called all the time for that? Usually owners, if they're well aware, they can probably treat that themselves.
That's correct. I can tell when they have an abscess, and I always treat it myself. Rainey, the one who's no longer with us, she had light-colored feet. She was very prone to abscesses. There was one time I had all 4 feet in 4 buckets, and she was just standing there. So, yes, when they get abscesses, it's impossible to keep them clean when they are out in the pastures. So they are cleaned twice a day, cleaned out twice a day. They're wrapped. You put a drawing salve on there. You pack it full of stuff to keep it clean. So. Yes, and abscesses can go two different ways. They either come out the bottom or they come out the top through the leg.
The band.
Yes.
At the band area?
The band, yes.
All right. Yeah, that's very important to take care of their legs and their hooves. They also get the tendon and the ligament injuries, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're actually very easily damaged from overstretching or rigorous training or even overuse.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, I'm not a huge fan of horse racing. That's the big popular thing this month because of the time of year. But you'll hear a lot of injuries that happen at the racetracks for all that stuff. So, but lameness is super, super important to watch out for in horses because it can be super life-threatening. So, eye injuries. Oh my goodness, they get eye injuries.
Yes, they tend to stick their heads in places they shouldn't.
Are they curious?
They are. They are. Some more than others. But I think also in this environment where there's lots of trees, they're trying to clean up around the trees and get the grass, and they just happen to graze their eyes. They, and Tuff actually at one time had hit himself in the face with his tail and injured his eye. So I witnessed that one. That's how I knew what happened.
Oh my goodness.
And then that was a whole 2 weeks of treatment there. So.
And the nice thing about some of the, well, which I think is actually cool, for the eye injuries is that they can, they get a mask
yes.
over their face
yes.
and it, with a nice bubble that can protect
yes.
the eye. So,
okay.
but yeah, that is just one of the pieces of equipment that can be used to help take care of the eye. But they do get common, you know, illnesses that people need to watch out for, which some of those are related to certain vaccinations that they can get. Mm-hmm. Per year. One of them, of course, is rabies. So rabies is would be the same transmission as through other with other animals. So bats.
Correct. Raccoons.
Raccoons. Yep. So you want to make sure that your horses are vaccinated for the rabies vaccine. Another big thing here, especially in the state of Michigan, is the West Nile virus.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that your horse is protected with that.
Is that from ticks?
Mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So just
yes.
like mosquitoes can transmit heartworm disease in dogs and cats, mosquitoes can transmit the West Nile virus. So.
And then also going back to the eyes again, uveitis is a big thing, especially in light-colored horses and older horses. If they don't have pigment around the eyes, it does not reflect the sun very well. Comanche, for one, gets a special mask in the summer to protect his eyes from the UV rays.
So if they have a dark color, it's safer?
It is safer. All of mine still wear the UV masks, but for some reason, the lighter colored horses are more prone to that.
Yep. So, again, all about protection from head to toe. And what do you do for, well, we'll talk about grooming in a minute because we still have some more vaccinations that, you know, we have to cover because it is important every year that your horse does get vaccinated. So we have the West Nile virus. We also have equine encephalomyelitis.
Uh-huh.
Yep, so that will affect.
Eastern and Western.
That is.
And what is that in layman's terms, that disease, encephalitis?
It is a neurological disease that affects their brain. So.
What prevention do you have?
Vaccines.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Vaccines. So also they can get tested. They have to get tested. Does every horse have to get tested for Coggins? No, they don't. But usually for transport.
Traveling or showing. Yes.
And Coggins is what?
Coggins is a blood test.
Okay.
That is drawn. And I can't recall exactly how they get that.
That's a good question, and I should know that.
I'll have to look that up. I've tested for it.
but the blood does get drawn, and it has to be submitted, and there's particular forms that have to
yes.
be filled out. So, but important, again, for transport. But vaccinations are just as important for horses as they are for some of your smaller animals. You know, like I said earlier, before, you know, chickens can get some, peacocks don't have any, but horses, imperative that they get their vaccines properly. So make sure that you cover those. Now let's talk about toxins on the property, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are certain trees that they are not allowed to be near. One of those is the maple tree.
Really?
Red maple.
Red maple. It is actually the leaves. When the leaves turn red, they have some sort of toxin in them. If the horse ingests that, it shuts their kidneys down.
Yes.
Yes.
It was very serious and deadly.
And it's hard because sugar maples have what in them? Maple syrup.
Yeah, right.
The horses like that. So they'll eat the bark off of the sugar maple and then you have to keep all the leaves away from them.
Oh my.
So it can be quite challenging. They're smart enough usually not to eat the leaves. So, but I'm always cleaning out their water tank. I'm making sure their food dishes don't have anything in there. If it goes near the salt block, I make sure that all the leaves are away from the salt block, stuff like that.
You know, I think about the good shepherd who goes out and checks out the pastures before he allows the sheep to graze.
It's no different for pretty much any other animal that you have on a piece of property like this.
So a little maple seed could float across, grow, you know, go into the ground and start growing up, and you have to check the pasture.
Pull them out.
Really?
Yeah.
No maples here, huh?
No maples. They're back there.
So other things that they're that can cause toxicity?
On this particular property, we have what is called nightshade, which is toxic to all animals. I have to make sure it's not near the chickens. When we had pigs, it couldn't be in the pig pen. We make sure it's out of the horse pasture, the peacocks. And what's crazy about the nightshade is it gets a berry on it, so all of the birds want to eat it. So that is one that we really have to watch out for here.
Other common diseases, tetanus. You got to make sure that your horses are vaccinated against tetanus as well.
Yes.
Okay, so things that do happen to horses, not necessarily related to toxicity, but although can happen, is colic is a big thing. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
How many horses
yes.
have you had colic?
I've lost one horse to colic, actually.
And so what that means is it's abdominal pain.
Okay.
Okay, so you know, you've heard of colicky baby.
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
That's an unpleasant experience.
Right.
And what happens is when they're uncomfortable, they lay down and they roll to try to feel better. And because their stomach is so big, it twists, kind of like a Tootsie Roll in a wrapper. And now you have a problem because both ends are closed off.
Yep.
So if quick intervention does not happen, they normally cannot come out of it. The miniature horse I had was very prone to colic. As soon as the weather would change from spring to summer, she colicked every year. And one of the treatments I would do for her, we would go in the pond and she would swim, and that would help her. And unfortunately, when I lost her, I was not home that weekend, so I was not here to observe that something was wrong.
Yeah. So signs of colic would be kicking at the abdomen, right?
Biting at the abdomen.
Yep. And then little to no manure production.
Yes, that is correct.
Right.
No gut sounds. If you think your horse is colicking, I always put my ear on their stomach because you can hear the gurgling. When they're colicking, there's no gurgle.
And when they're rolling on the ground, it's not necessarily like a dog rolling on a ground at all. And they start pawing at themselves as well.
And horses do roll as a normal behavior, so you have to be able to identify when it's a normal rolling behavior and when it's not. These guys roll all the time. They roll every time it gets rainy and muddy, they have to roll in it. And then, so I have to know, I'm always watching to see if it's a normal behavior for them.
And so that's one of the big things that horses will get. They also get choke.
So
that occurs when like the food and other ingested material just lodges in the esophagus, and a lot of them just don't know how to chew their food properly, like some people.
Comanche has choked twice.
Oh my goodness.
And has required veterinarian intervention.
Really?
Yes.
How much time do you have once that's manifest?
Not much. It's definitely an emergency situation. One time he had choked so bad, he had given himself a nosebleed. So I was massaging and my veterinarian was there within 12 minutes, thankfully, but it was a struggle.
Yeah.
So, and the second time he passed it himself. So I have to be very careful with what I feed him.
Yeah. So signs of choke would be coughing, extending the head and the neck. Did you see that? Any food or saliva coming from their mouth?
A lot also out their nose.
And a lot of retching.
Yes.
So, but, well.
Let's take a break.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're listening to Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna and Tom Majeur. We're on location with Teresa at her farm, and we'll be back after this break.
This is Ruthie Calkins from Tustin. The Bible tells us that heaven will be the dwelling place of God's friends. That's why I'm so excited about supporting Strong Tower Radio. Their unique blend of thought-provoking speakers, stirring inspirational messages, and heartwarming music reaches into the lives and hearts of each listener, helping them to develop and cherish a friendship with God. If this radio station has been a blessing to you and your family, why not join me and hundreds of others in supporting Strong Tower Radio with a financial gift? They're 100% listener supported and could really use your help right now. You can send your check to Strong Tower Radio, Post Office Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan 49601. Or you can visit their secure website to use your credit card at strongtowerradio.org. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Welcome back to Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna, Tom Majeur, and Teresa. And we're down on her farm, and we're talking about horses. There's a lot more to horses care than most people realize.
There is.
How much time do you, just basic maintenance, not only, we've talked about a few crises where you've had to intervene and do some care with them, but this is high maintenance.
It is very high maintenance. I spend at least several hours a week with them. Do you hear them clicking?
Oh, yep, I do.
We were talking about this horse that you kept him a stud.
I did. For 7 years, he was stunted as a foal. I kept him as a stud to help with growth and stronger legs, stronger bones, stronger tendons by not depleting his testosterone, but he still has some issues with it. And you can hear him clicking as he walks
by. Yes, we literally heard that.
Well, we can talk about basically what kind of nutritional needs that they have to have. It's not just hay for horses, is it?
It is not. It is not. They need certain vitamins, certain supplements. They have to have salt intake regularly. The hay is very, very important. They have to have fiber in their diet to keep everything moving properly. Green grass at all times. A horse does so much better when they have access to green grass. That is definitely true. I have a horse that's almost 41 who has no teeth left. He is out there and it looks like he's grazing. He's just mainly wadding it up in a ball and spitting it out.
Aww.
He's entertaining himself, but he's not getting anything out of that grass. So he gets soaked beet pulp pellets for his fiber. He gets soaked alfalfa pellets for his protein and his calories. He also gets 10 pounds of specialized pelleted, highly palatable senior feed. He gets a 5-gallon bucket full every single day. So because he requires so much more than my younger geldings, he goes in the stall every day for 2 hours to eat his food.
So, wow, a lot of maintenance. You said several hours. Are we talking about how much per day? Do you have to watch them every day, do something with them?
I do, yes.
Put out their food?
Twice a day.
Twice a day?
Yes, yep. They have to eat twice a day. I'm out here, either Bart is out here or myself. We do chores in the morning. They get their food in the morning, and then we do chores in the evening as well, so twice a day. And they have a 5-acre pasture that they have free access to all day long. They also have free hay, as much hay as they can eat whenever they want.
Now, do you have to brush them down from time to time?
Yes, yep.
How frequently?
In the winter, I don't do it as much, but especially this time of the year when they're shedding out their winter coat, I am always brushing them. I'm checking for lesions. I'm making sure everything's okay, making sure that everything's shedding out properly and that they don't have anything going on with their coat. Especially this time of the year, horses are really prone to what is called rain rot. They get rained on, and then if it sits too long on the skin, they can develop a bacterial infection. So it kind of looks like blisters, but what it does is it peels off, taking all of the hair with it as well. So I'm always making sure that they don't have any type of fungal thing going on, any type of bacterial thing going on.
What do you do if it starts?
They get a special medicated bath, and then that usually helps.
So particular. These things are so particular, and I can't express enough that people need to understand you don't get an animal just because it's cute, okay?
You went and did a horse ride, had a good experience.
Right.
I want a horse.
Right. I mean, there's so much care that is involved from head to toe, and not just like on the surface. I mean, we have to talk about one of the biggest things that people have to remember is horses and their dental care. Mm-hmm. Dental care is so, so important because it affects everything.
Everything.
And without the proper intervention, you basically could starve your animal to death. All right. And that happens a lot. Teeth care is super important. They should be looked at really by a veterinarian or a good qualified owner, at least on a regular basis, mm-hmm. but maybe a veterinarian for once or twice a year. They can become very painful if they're not taken care of. They get digestive issues. Mm-hmm. They can, if they're a performance horse, that can be affected as well. And it's usually caused by like really sharp enamel points in their
hooks.
Teeth, called mm-hmm. hooks. So, mm-hmm. and that has to be filed down. And typically in the terms of horses, it's called floating.
Okay.
So they use a special equipment, similar to like a cheese grater.
Yes.
And
yes.
They can float the teeth. So it's filing them down. But it's not just a typical, you can't just do it straight. You have to do it at an angle. Everything is very particular.
They have to be able, your teeth have to line up perfectly so that they can grind their food properly. Otherwise,
they're basically molars.
Yeah, all of their teeth are molars, yes. And then they have their incisors on the front, yes.
Yep.
And you do this yourself?
Nope. Equine dentist. I am the lucky one that gets to hold all of the weight on my shoulder because they do have to be sedated. And their mouth is held open with a speculum so that they have easy access to the teeth. But when they're sedated, their head gets really heavy. So I hold it like this.
So you've got to have a veterinarian and you've got to have a farrier. And then you have to have
an equine dentist.
Equine dentist.
Yes. Because not all veterinarians are equipped to do dental care in horses. And even in small animal, not all veterinarians are equipped to do dental care in the cats and dogs either. So they have to remember that. But what do we look for when it comes to dental care? So if they're not feeling good, say you see dropping food.
Dropping their grain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A bad odor in their mouth. That's another thing.
Unusual jaw movement. They'll like...
Tilt their head
because what happens is the hooks can cause ulcers inside of their cheeks, which is painful.
Does it grab their side of their mouth
mm-hmm.
or anything?
Yep.
Like the flush?
Yes, and it can poke their cheeks or it can go up into their gum in their upper jaw. Mm-hmm.
With the lower teeth running over the upper
mm-hmm.
jaw. And
mm-hmm.
So there's, dental issues that they can have, and it's so important, but it can cost a decent amount of money, okay? It depends on the vet that you have. They have wolf teeth.
And the wolf teeth have to be pulled out when they're younger.
Help us out.
They're like extra teeth that grow.
Canines?
Kind of. They are kind of like canines, but where they're positioned, they can just grow and grow and grow and grow. So if they're not pulled out, then that causes a huge problem. So those are pulled when they are little.
Okay. So that's the basic of dental care for horses, right? So that's super important to make sure that that those teeth are taken care of on a regular basis. Well, we've covered some grooming. Mm-hmm. We've covered the dental care. A little bit more on their nutrition, though. Do they have to have a certain percentage?
It actually varies horse to horse. Some horses are what are called easy keepers, and people will say they stay fat on air. I am lucky enough to have two of those. So I have two geldings that they are fat no matter what. They really don't need to have grain, but I give them grain. So I make sure that they have their extra vitamins and the protein and the nutrients that they need. This one, on the other hand, used to be an easy keeper. Now that he is 41, he's not. So he gets a lot of extra stuff. So he has a 14% fat grain and, or I'm sorry, I apologize, 14% protein, 8% fat, which a normal horse grain, which your basic is 2% fat. So he gets quite a bit, and he is on a special senior feed.
Water's important as well.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So what they if they're have not a 100-gallon tank at all times.
Do they drink that every day?
They drink about 50 gallons of it every day between the three of them.
Wow.
Yes.
Fresh water daily.
Yes.
That's super important because actually that helps keep their gut moving and it can help with any colic. Mm-hmm. But doesn't eliminate it no matter how much they drink. It can still be helpful.
So fiber and water.
Yes. Yes. Keeps it moving.
Now what is a part, let's talk about some training. All your horses trained?
They are.
What are they trained specifically for?
This one, he...
This is the older one.
Is the oldest one.
The pony.
The pony. And he is trained basically mostly for Western riding. So he will walk trot. In his younger days, he would canter. I don't know if we could get him to do that.
We're going to get him to do much of anything. No, except for just stand there and start faking eating.
He does trot from the pasture into the barn to go eat. That's about the highlight of his day.
Exercise.
There.
Exercise.
Yes, and then he is actually my daughter's show pony. When she showed, he is now retired, but she showed him up at the Sanilac County Fair, and she did trail with him. He's what we call bomb proof, basically. He will do anything that you ask him. He is scared of literally nothing. The trail course.
No sounds that will spook him?
Nothing. The trail course in a show ring, he has to walk over a bridge, which is basically like a pallet. You open a mailbox, you have to fling a tarp around. Nothing scares him.
He's so really chill.
He was very, very good at that. And then Tuff, I didn't show him, he is basically a trail horse, but he also, nothing scares him. He will go through creeks, he will go through ditches, he will swim across a pond, nothing scares him either. One of the mares that I had before was trained for barrels. I did speed classes with her, and I trained her myself.
So that's kind of an obstacle course?
Like barrel racing, like in the rodeo.
So they
have different patterns. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yep. We did that. Cash, he's been basically my backyard pet. I get on him. We tool around. We have fun. He's never really done anything serious in his life. He does not have a steady head on his shoulders. Everything scares him. So he stays home.
Oh my goodness. So training is involved. Okay.
Yes,
people need to learn how to train. These are beasts. They can kill you.
It's an ongoing thing also. Even though I've had them for so many years, I still work with them all of the time. I still interact with them. I still pick up their feet. I still make them have manners. There are certain things that they have to do because they are 1,200 pounds. I am not. So they have to respect me, and it's called ground manners. They have to have ground manners. So it makes your life a lot easier when they are well trained. All of my horses will ground tie. I can have a lead on them. I set it down. I tell them to stand. I can go in the house. I can go check the mail. They're not leaving that spot. I just told them to stand.
It doesn't even have to be hooked anything.
No, no.
But it sounds like the trainer needs to be trained in order to do the training.
That is true. The trainer has to know what they're doing.
Where do you learn that?
A lot of research, a lot of education, a lot of experience. Not all horses learn the same, so you have to know your horse. You have to know what works better for your horse. I have Cash. Cash does not like any form of aggression. If you even show a little bit of aggression, he will shut down completely. You're not getting anywhere with him.
So you're talking about yelling at it or?
Yes, or yes.
Hitting him or something?
Some horses, like I have seen people, they'll like smack their horse around a little bit if they don't listen. I don't do that with any of mine, but when he was with somebody else, he was not at my house. They had roughed him up a little bit and he completely mentally shut down. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty sad. So he has certain ways that he has to be dealt with.
So personality differences of these animals, each individual has their own personality. So that people have to remember that you can't treat all horses the same, you can't treat all dogs the same, nor all cats, and nor all people, right?
Yes. Right.
But based on what Teresa was saying, it sounds like these horses listen way much better than children do these days, right?
I train my children pretty well, too.
I know, actually, she has two great children. I tell you what, this woman, she's got two great children as well. Not a surprise, right? But let's talk about their environment a little bit. So, you know, people do have to decide. There are people that can live in the city and they can have a horse. How can they do that? Well, they can actually buy a horse and then take it to a boarding facility. There are places that do board horses, and then that person then would go, you know, willingly, hopefully, and enough times to go visit their horses at the boarding facility, but they're just paying for somebody else to provide the shelter, provide the food, things like that, but the person is paying for all of that to happen. So boarding facilities can be ideal for those who really want a horse but don't have the property to do so. So how much property would you say one horse should have? Is it 5?
I would say at least 3 acres.
3 acres.
Yes.
Okay. So at least 3 acres per horse.
Yes. And most townships, counties, cities, they have ordinances. For this particular Kimball Township, you have to have 5 acres for the first horse and 1 acre each additional. If you have 20 acres, they say you can have as many as you want. That is not necessarily true or accurate. You have to have enough land to sustain them.
Or you're going to have to bring in a whole lot of hay.
A whole lot of hay. They're prone to disease. They're more prone to injury.
And so I assume the wear and tear on the pasture, the grass, and it causes other problems?
Yes. And what we also have to do, at least it's if not every year, every other year, we do pasture maintenance. Bart will go out there and he will level it, and then he will grade it, and we reseed it, we replant it.
What do the horses do while this pasture's growing?
We have 2 separate pastures.
Oh, okay.
So they're locked on one side or the other, and then we do maintenance.
So there'll be ruts and pawing holes and whatever.
Yes, and which we actually have some right now from the skid steer where he had moved the dirt. So once that dries out, he will go out there, and it's called a holly rake. And he will level that all out again. They're pretty sure-footed, but we don't like to give them too many obstacles.
So that's the pasture part. Now, what about the actual building that they have to
the shelter that they have? Yeah.
They have back here a 12 by 24 foot lean-to, and then they also have a 12 by 12 foot lean-to, so that they can get out of the rain and get out of the sun and out of the snow. We also have the big horse barn that has the enclosed stalls, which is an option for them to go in. Which the peafowl have taken over. My horses are all very desensitized to peacocks, so they can happily coexist in the barn if needed. So if the weather is really bad, if it's storming, if it's an ice storm, they don't prefer to be locked up, but I have the option. If somebody needs to be quarantined or on stall rest, I have the option. Tuff will let me put him in the stall for about 8 hours, and then his time is up. And he will start kicking in the barn, and it shakes my whole house. So,
oh my goodness.
And he has figured out 100 feet away
where the main beam is, and that he nails it dead every time. So then you have to be careful because you have the little legs. You don't
injuries.
Want him to, when he gets super impatient, hurt himself. So.
Oh my goodness. Little children. You're like basically taking care of little children. So that's okay. So that's kind of the shelter that they need. Okay. So they thrive better with being in groups, right? So they have to have a companion.
They are a herd animal. Yes. They do not do well. They are actually very social. If I were to walk out into this field right now, I would have all three of them right on top of me at all times.
Okay, go do that.
they are so funny. And then they will fight for attention. So if one is closer to me, another one tries to squeeze in between us. Mm-mm. All the time.
Kind of sounds like emus.
Another bird. So yeah, there you go.
I tried to get some of those, but Bart said no.
I mean,
that's
we,
it, huh?
we tried the flamingos, but we could only get the fake ones. So, all right. Well, we've learned a lot. The equipment that they are, like the harnesses and things like that, and the
halters. Yep. I have halters. I have bridles. I have saddles. Don't tell my husband, I have 9 saddles and 3 horses. It's kind of like shoes. You just have to have them all. They're
well,
all different.
We can't get more feet, but I think you can get more horses.
Right? Yes. Lots of different bits. Horses, every horse requires a different bit. So you have to, and there's different bits for different disciplines. So there's a lot that's involved, actually.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, it's been a good time down at the farm.
Well, I mean, we have other things we can remind people. Oh, let's talk about their reproductive health a little bit, okay? Because you know, as you guys know, I am very keen on spaying and neutering your cats and dogs. And horses, well, I guess it's not too easy to spay a horse, although possible in an emergency situation, but it doesn't always go well. But castration is one of the big things for male horses. And the reason why that can be important too is because intact males are pretty aggressive, aren't they?
They are, yes. And they're very big. So, and they tend to lose their mind when there is a mare in season. So, yes, you definitely have to have the proper housing if you are going to have a stallion. It is a challenge. And they can get very aggressive
Violent.
Towards their owners. Yeah. Yes. Yes, they can.
And one of the issues that they can have if they are an intact male is called cryptorchidism. That is where one testicle has not descended and the other one is somewhere in the abdomen or in the inguinal canal. But it's important to make sure that that is retrieved because that can cause cancer, actually. Mm-hmm. And so that's about reproduction. For the mares, again, you know, rarely do they have an issue. However, their issues would be found if, number one, if you have a breeder horse that's not breeding properly, okay? They can do artificial insemination, mm-hmm. usually with them. But when it comes to foaling season, and then that's where some of the problems develop. So let's talk about foals a little bit. Now, when I was in school, I did sign up what we call for foal team, which was really, really cool. So I took midnight shifts in the large animal clinic, me and another student, and basically all we did was provide medications, but a lot of the females had their little foals with them in the little medical facility. And so cute, Tom, so, so cute. But talk about foals. How experienced with foals have you been?
I have raised quite a few babies in my time. When I moved here to this house, I had 9 horses. And
that's where all the saddles came from.
Well, it would have been, except 7 of them were under 2 years of age.
Oh my goodness.
So I used to do a lot with the babies, and the babies have to be imprinted, and so much more time has to be spent with them and handling them and teaching them. They are not born knowing right from wrong, and they are super playful, and babies are big, and they still can hurt you, and they don't realize that. So you have to teach them right from wrong. Like, how do horses communicate and play? They kick. That's not fun when you're a human. So the baby has to know they just can't walk up and kick everybody, even though they are playing. So there's certain things that... And they also have certain dietary requirements.
Yes, that's
true. And lots of different hands-on training with a baby than with a full adult horse that is here. So.
How do you train a foal not to kick?
It's a lot of
feet off. I mean,
a lot
seriously.
Of trial and error. I have been kicked quite a few times, so it's a lot of stern no. You know, you can't do that. You just have to really work with them a lot and correct them when. And it's hard to correct a baby because they don't know, you know, what exactly is going on. They're just playing. It's a lot of consistent training.
They really are brats.
They
are. I tell you what.
They're mischievous.
I know, they really are.
They are.
They're so just, like, you want to just pinch them because you go to try to get near them and then they fly over to their mother and then they want to, like, do this, like, back and forth kind of, you know, play. Mm-hmm. But no, they really are brats.
Some of them never grow out of it. If I leave anything within the reach of Tuff, he will grab it and he will run. And then we're playing catch me if you can. So he has taken my Gatorade bottles. He has taken his lead rope. He has.
Oh my goodness.
One time he grabbed the fencing pliers. I was working on the fence. He grabbed the pliers and took off running with them.
Say, what are you going to do with
them?
Oh
my goodness.
He's like, can you please bring those back? No, I had to chase him.
So. And you still love him, huh?
I do. I love him a lot.
Well, you know, the mares can actually carry almost a full year. So about 320 to 360 days average.
Uh-huh.
So that's how long they can carry. So
that's a long
it's very
gestation. Yes, that is for sure.
Yes.
But, you know, what a blessing it is to have the experience that Teresa has.
Yes.
When it comes to taking care of animals. I mean, she's such a wide variety. You know, you can't match that kind of knowledge. And such a young age just starting. So what kind of suggestions or what kind of information would you have for those, you know, children who want to, you know, get into the horseback riding and things like that?
I would definitely reach out and get somebody that can mentor them. I've done a lot of lessons in my life. I've done a lot with my cousin's children. I have friends that come up here from Ohio, and I teach them. I like to share my knowledge. And she's actually coming up here next week, and she's so excited because she'll come up here and she's going to brush everybody. She just got her first horse, and I was a big part of that. She was texting me a lot and asking me a lot of questions. I talked to her quite a bit. So definitely find somebody. There's so many places around here that are so willing to teach children and share the knowledge that everybody has.
Well, this is absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much, Teresa.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you so very much for just not just what you do here, but what you do for me at work and for just everything in between. I think that, you know, very few people can match your expertise.
Thank you.
And you. And there's only one Teresa. You know, I mean, come on. I would carry her around in my pocket if I could everywhere I go. So. But well, what a blessing, and thank you again to you and your family.
Oh, so. You're welcome, absolutely.
For Strong Tower Radio, this is Creation Animal Care with Dr. Edie Hanna and Tom Mazur. God bless, and treat your animals good. Bye
Amen.
Now.
Bye-bye.